saying that this article, when it come out, you know, the people in this country were 99% silverites. That's what they wanted, you know.
Well, what,
and
silverites, what?
Well, for free silver, free coinage of silver.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And that's what W.J. Bryan run on, you know. The no crucifying on a, what is it, crown of, we won't be crucified on a cross of gold and a crown of thorns or one thing or another. I forgot it. But anyhow, the merchants start taking their ads out, see, and they start losing subscriptions. Well, I can tell you the day your family begin to wonder where it's going to get any grub for a while there. And it become quite serious, and father would keep on, but Jimmy Greenfield, he put it as near as I can figure. Now I'm not positive on this, but I've been told, and the files are all missing. But my understanding is that he put it instead of wrung from conscience, he put it the heading wrong from conscience. See. I know he did put a postscript at the bottom and said, next time Dave Day plays a joke on himself, he'll know better. But anyhow, it went along, and it took years to live that, for father to live that down, that they thought he had turned traitor, see, to the silver cause. The Eastern papers published about show how the West was turning, you know, give an example of how. Here's how strong a gold bug or silverite Dave Day was, and then turning gold bug
over,
and it hurt. And that was another phase in the.
On this Lime Creek burn, I wonder if there's anybody around here that know about that. Just what the.
Well, I've been contacted several times on that, and I read an article now somewhere where it strikes me as this old Indian that lived over west of here or something gave somebody a story. I wonder if it was Ralph that used to write
Bennett
about he lived during the burn something about it, but it was before my time. I come over the hill horseback, used to ride horseback from Ouray to Durango. I had a girl over here and ranch over home and over to Ouray, and I used to ride back and forth, and that was before there was any wagon road at all. There was a kind of a toll road from Silverton up a ways that they'd made a toll road, but going up from when you got up on Coalbag there, why, you didn't strike any road till you got way down into the valley pretty well. That was before my time. I know it was well burnt over at that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's the only way I would know that you would get any information on that. In one generation, the means of transportation and our moral standard, the standard of living and the standard of morals has changed so much, you know, just in my life, since I was a boy up until the present time. Now you take when I come over to Durango, the horse cars were running, street cars were pulled by horse. Our fire department was pushed by man. See, just a two wheel outfit on a reel with a hose on a reel, and was all volunteer fire department. And then gradually it come on to a jolt wagon or a farm wagon with a hose built up in it, and two horses hitched to that, and then finally we got to our present system, kept growing up. And it seems so funny that those things grow in the same way with our morals. You take the women wore long dresses, and there was never, if a woman was seen smoking a cigarette on the street, she'd be throwing the hoose
down. That's right.
And there was never a decent woman went on the saloon road side at all. They wouldn't be caught on that side.
Was the west side the saloon road?
The west side was the saloon in one block. There was one block in there. That's the first night of Mac was always there, but from then on down it was all saloons and everything. And in back was a segregated sporting district, see, across the tracks where the sporting women lived. And they could go in the back doors, but they were never allowed on the streets, that is, up and down the street. And if a woman, Even the sporting woman was seen in men's attire. They'd be thrilled in the hoozgah. And then you take your churches. They were, as I remember, the Presbyterian Church and the different ones, were, the Episcopal Church is about the only one, and the Catholics, that condoned dancing, you know. And they was bitter against it. But now today, they don't, there isn't much said about dancing in the Presbyterian or Methodist or those churches at all. They don't make any fight against it and things like that. And I think that Prohibition, the year of Prohibition, was the year that ruined the morals of the American women.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that was true, because I was in an age where before that I used to go to dances and things like that, and then after that. And during that period, I used to go to those dances, you know, and the idea was that it wasn't a case of money. If somebody knew where there was a bootlegger and they could get a pint of booze, everybody was ready to chip in to get one, you know, and he was quite a hero because he could get it. And there was then the girls started. The girls started to come out, and they wanted a little. I don't know, and I seen so many good people, so many real good religious people, break over, and I never can account for it unless it's the fact that it's psychologically, the American public, you can't take anything away from them. They want it when they can't have it. That's true if you'll notice if you smoke, or if you've got a habit, any kind of a habit, like drinking coffee or anything like that, you, especially if you're smoking or chewing tobacco, and you go along and you know that you, unconsciously, you know that you've got a chew of tobacco in your pocket. All right, you feel that you're going to take a chew, and you feel that you, and it's gone. You haven't got it. Or the same way with your pipe or your tobacco. And you want it so bad, you know. Then you begin to want it. You want it. And I think that's a psychological view that one should take about trying to take something prohibiting people from having something. You take our juvenile delinquents today and try to prohibit them from having it. You can't do it. That's all there is to it. It just seems like and you take it on the other hand, look at the other side of it. It's the climbing of, somebody always wants to be, climb a mountain and get there quicker or higher. He wants to get in the car, he wants to go faster. And all those things bear out the fact that there is that psychological something in the American public that you just want to, they just want it. They're going to do it. That's all. That's what's made us progress, as progressive as we are today. That's all. Volume 1, number 1 of the Daughters of the Revolution's Pioneers of the San Juan. That's in there.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's in there. Or it's in one of the two. There's four out now. You see, they got four volumes out, one different years. And that's in there. I've seen that. Uh-huh. And then I've seen the picture several times. I think Neil Kapp had it. And that's available somewhere.
Yeah, I like to get that. We had it in our first Ellen Timberline, or the second one we put out, or something like that.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you another picture that's of great interest, and Edith Keel has got that picture, and it is taken in 1911. And you know this bridge out here, this trestle that crosses the Animas River for the Silver. That was, at that time, was wood, the same as the far span is. That's still wood, that's still there. Well, in 1911, the water come up so high that it come up to the rails, see? And it took this section, in order to hold the bridge down, to keep from floating away, they run a lot of coal cars, these gondolas filled with coal, and they run them on the there. And this section here, where you see the river swings against that and comes out. Well, she's got a picture of this section with the coal car still on it, and it's hung up on these trees right out here.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it's quite a large picture. It's a dandy, and I hope somebody would get it. She's got it, and I imagine if you can contact her, it would be one of the nicest pictures to put in there.
Well,
and I've been warning the city, and I don't know. I had an article a while back about "In God We Trust" on that bridge. But these new city managers is coming from the east. Now, this present manager is pushing this dirt back all the time, making more room for the city. Of course, if I made a kick, they'd say, well, All you want is to sell to the city. They offered me $12,000 for this, you know, and I wouldn't sell. And they'd say, all you want is try to make the city buy you out. Well, it isn't. But I told Jerry the other day, I said, that fella, the Rank and the one before him, Pert, I said, they keep moving that down. I said, now when this river comes up, and it's going to come up sometime, I said, if they ever have a 7-inch water like fell in 1911, it's going to happen. I said, that bridge will dam up so quick. In 10 minutes, it'll dam up so quick with the timbers and trees and things that come down that it'll back the river up and it'll just wash this whole city out. But now, this house, in 1911, it was up to the eaves. It washed the back end of it out, this big house here, see, that I bought. It washed all of that back end out. They pulled that back, and it swum a horse to get from here to the street. It all went down into where that El Paso, lots are. It filled all those houses with mud. There was an old swimming pool down in there at one time, and down in the where the electric light plant is. It went cut across there. Well, it spread out so that it didn't do too awfully much damage. But they've got now the state fish hatchery are beginning to, they're beginning to move the river over, but they're really taking, coming over this side of their bank. Well, I'm the city. I've left the city taking dump here, but I've still got the trees to show that that's the river bed, side of the bank, you know. And someday, though, that's not going to carry it. And if it ever catches on this bridge, why, it'll go back of the state highway. Now, you just see, I might not live to see it, but someday, that's going to cut back there by that Huck Finn Pond and come right back of the state fish hatchery. That's what's going to do, because that river goes up fast, and the fact that so much timber and trash comes down, there's no possible way of keeping the bridge clear, see? If you had plenty of time to do it, well, that'd be different, but you won't have.
Well, does Edith Keel live in town yet?
No, Edith is somewhere. She's in the hospital, but she was better. And I don't know if she makes her home here or not. I think she's got some property here. I saw in the paper not too long ago where it gave her address and said she had recovered and would like to hear from some of them. But she showed me this picture herself, and I had it, and I saw it, and I thought if you could get a hold of that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you where you could get to. Somebody certainly got her address. Well, they got their address at the post office. That's where you could get it. And write her and try to get a hold of that picture. That would be a wonderful picture for the...
Sure.
And a warning to the city of what's going to happen some of these days. I contend that if they don't, then that animus... Now, here is a condition that exists.
You got 315.
That's the one they got up here in the yard. Uh-huh. You know. They took old 315, and they wanted to get it in condition, and they found they'd have to pass an act of Congress in order to get that thing to run. So rather than to do that, and the quicker do that, they took and brought old 315 out here on this spur right out here. And they brought that diesel up. And then here's what they, the pictures that they made of 315 of the engine. But they took and all the inside of it, they put a blower in there, and they burnt oil in it to blow the smoke out the stack. And they put a steam outfit in there to make the steam. But the diesel, they made it look like a baggage coach in the back, and the diesel was doing the one that was doing all the pushing.
Oh,
and pulling.
I
and this
see.
Was made right out here around the world in 80 days. That's part of the picture. And there's a good one.
Oh, for gosh sake.
Yeah.
And this is the one that's sitting up there.
Yeah, that's the old engine that's sitting up here. Now, that's the glass. That's taking a test, just leaving test spur. That's just been destroyed. That burnt up, I think, that glass covered gondola that they had when on the, they had that when they first started on the run.
Huh.
And there's some mountain sheep that's taken. I took that picture myself. It's on a postcard, but I had the cards. I used to work at the Winoka Mill. I'd go right by those buggers. They'd come right down the feet in your ray there.
Is there? This is up by Uray.
Yeah, that's right in city limits.
Huh.
You could walk within 5 or 6 feet of them. They didn't care at all. They're just feeding in there all the time. And those are Ouray people. They sure protect those sheep now.
Jackie Galusha, Mary Florence Baker, Flores, Eileen Hodgen, Betty Mae Gilligan, Janice Mullott, and Derry Deaton. Okay, next goes to our salutatorian, Janice Mullott. It contains a salutatory award and medal, also a scholarship from Jones College and a scholarship from Eastern New Mexico University, that is a full tuition scholarship and a certificate of recognition from the Board. Congratulations. There have been many other students who just didn't quite make it. I think all of you can look at the group who were up here who have received recognition from other places. You'll see that we have many outstanding students in this class. In fact, I believe we have more outstanding students in this class than any class that we have had. And I'd like to point out to you people just this. We hear a lot about young people. We hear about the wrong side of their activities. I'm afraid too many of us get the idea that all students or all teenagers are delinquents. I had one high school girl say to me after she had heard one rather fluent speaker talking and running down the teenagers that it almost made me ashamed that I was a teenager. Well, we have in our country both kinds. Now I want you to look these people over. I'm sure that you will say, agree with me that right in this group right here that have been on the stage tonight, we have the potential leaders that will make this country a great country.
10 years ago last month, Mr. Jefferson of the Ritter Lumber Company called me and said that he had a desire to do something try to stimulate the academic achievement in our school. He said that he felt we had every reason to be rightly proud of our athletic team, our music program, and the various programs in the school, but he would like to do something to encourage students to greater scholastic endeavor. That year, he made a cash award to our valedictorian. The following year, after giving this matter considerable thought, we organized a trip to the Grand Canyon of Arizona and other points of interest for our honor students. This is a 4-day trip with all expenses paid, which we go to the Grand Canyon and 12 or 15 other places of interest in Arizona. I've had the pleasure of being on that trip for the last 8 years. And I can say that it is certainly a wonderful trip. I have enjoyed it immensely. We have some wonderful scenery to view, and we always have a wonderful group of students to take. Somewhere along the line, Ritter Lumber Company was joined by the Ritter Walker Company, and the two have continued this award. I know that it has achieved the purpose which Mr. Jeffers had in mind when he first began. The first year we had one student. This year we have 14 entitled that award. And I think that speaks well for this group. In talking to some of these students, they tell me that they have had that high on that scholarship or on this award for the last 4 years. So I'm sure that it has had its effect. At this time, I would like to have the following students come to the stage. Derry Deaton, Janice Mullott, Eileen Hodgins, Betty Gilligan, Mary Connor, Jimmy Baxter, Bill Davis, Eddie Flores, Lucille Meade, Loisanne Richards, Pat Rhodes, Manuel Salinas, Ida Sauceda, and Hortensia Rico. Say one other word. These are 4 full days. We'll see you in front of Mr. Sanders' house next Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock. Class of 1957. These seniors have met all of the requirements of our local school. They have met all of the requirements of the State Board of Education, and I recommend that you grant them their diploma.
Holy Father, we come to thee with grateful hearts at this time, thanking thee for the good schools in our land and country. We thank thee for teachers who have given themselves to such courses as would lend aid and comfort and strength to these young people. We invoke thy rich blessings upon them as they go out with the various pursuits of life to accomplish the things of their hearts, and may it always be good. In the name of Christ our Redeemer. Amen.